Brian Green joins us now on the hotline, head baseball coach at Wichita State. Brian, welcome. How are you today?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. I do have to say, as a former Southern California resident and also living in Honolulu for 2 years, when I hear the traffic report in Wichita, I always just have a smile on my face because there just really rarely is traffic in Wichita. And I sure appreciate that.
Well, the traffic's actually gotten worse in the past 5 years, but yeah.
I think
compared to those places, we're pretty good.
I think you just wanted to tell us you lived in Southern California and Hawaii, and we got that message, Brian, so thank you.
And you know what? Maybe very clearly I tried to slip it in. I saw an opportunity, and I ran with it.
So it's very hard nowadays for somebody like me who's not in the game, like I used to be at the Eagle, to keep up with the comings and goings and the transfer portal and everything that goes on there. Give us your assessment of where Shocker baseball is now that the dust is cleared.
Yeah, here we are, culture training week with school starting yesterday. We've already met with the team twice. Today we're having what's called a Pride Day, and it's Pride in the Facility Day. So we've got 48 young men out cleaning out the facility and just making that statement that's before we get on the field, we need to make sure that we have cleaned it up the way that it's supposed to be and feeling great. But status of the program, guys, after playing for a championship last year and making that run in May, which was really exciting after an abysmal April, we're really, really excited for a couple of reasons. One, what the coaching staff did in recruiting and the transfer portal, but two, I think more importantly, what speaks to our culture and gives us the confidence of where we are right now is we'll bring back and retain 24 players, and that's a large number in today's current climate of athletics. And for us, when Mauricio Meehan, Cam Johnson, Dernan, Rogers, Callahan, Livingston, Gustafson, and Lane Hayworth, who were all starters at one point last year, return, along with Tyler Dobbs, Brady Hamilton, Caleb Anderson, Hunter Holmes, you name it, we're really excited. So the bulk of our team comes back, and that is extremely exciting. Davin Johnson to graduation, as well as Seth Stroh. We lost Derek Williams to the portal, and we lost Tommy Lepore to the portal. Other than that, we've got an entire group of guys that that competed here last year who are back here picking up trash today.
How much was and has been starting pitching depth at the top of your list? Because at the top of the rotation last year, you were fantastic. It got a little dicier once you got into the midweek games. So how much of a focus has that been? Just, you know, especially when you go into tournaments late in the season and you want to have enough arms to get through.
Yes, sir. That was priority number one. You know, we had a couple of immediate goals that we wanted to hammer, and we needed to get through the portal to see where we were going to be from a retention standpoint. But from a pitching standpoint, feeling like you're three, if not four arms short last year, particularly with the balance of left and right and be able to match up and extend our matchup. We had good matchup situations. If Hunter Holmes is in the game left and left, we were probably going to be successful, but if we needed him in the seventh, we didn't have an answer to come back with another left on left in the ninth. So if you heard me say earlier, 48 guys in camp, we've got four, if not five guys potentially injured this fall. Not sure if they'll return in the fall or not. So we covered our tracks with five more arms. And guys, this is the most deep that Coach Claggett and I have been since 18 in terms of old guys, experienced guys, and then a really good balance of left and right. I know we're always optimistic early in the year, but we sure like our team on paper in terms of left, right, old, and experience at previous schools.
Brian Green with us, Wichita State head baseball coach. So how do you treat the fall? I know that some coaches look at it as a very important time. Some try to let off the gas a little bit and make sure the right guys get to work. How do you treat fall baseball? How important is it to the development of some of your players?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's a two-part question. With regards to the returning players, particularly the players that did a lot for us last year, you know, we're really a little bit more development-driven with them. If there are adjustments to be made with them, we'll make it really early in the fall and let them use those adjustments into the inter-squad and scrimmage games, knowing that they're going to have a fairly lengthy leash come season time. With the new players, we treat them a little bit differently. We give them a little more time to just be evaluated. We recruited them for a specific reason, or in the recruiting process, if we told them we were going to make a change, we would do that quickly. But the fall for us is about building up trust. It's about building our culture. And it's about guys just creating a resume that they're going to be competitive. I told our team last night that the grinders win, and the guys who put their heads down and just get after it every day and the end of the day are going to find themselves on the field. And reminded our team that Cam Johnson hit 071 last fall and had three hits, and one was a swinging bunt and one was a flare. But he just kept his head down and kept playing. And next thing you know, he hits 330 as a freshman and makes the all freshman team. And Lane Hayworth didn't even play until essentially mid-March. So we're really just trying to build a resume. The players are, this is what we're instructing them to do, is just how competitive are you? Cause that's going to build up our trust. Obviously they've got to have some skills, but we're really just trying to get a beat on who can handle adversity, who can be consistent workers, and who can show enough of stuff for us to project. Because at the end of the fall, we'll still have to make some adjustments or some recommendations on, you know, if somebody goes to a junior college or if we're going to redshirt somebody. But we do, guys. It comes fast. I mean, come November 1, we would like to feel like we feel who our 40 are, and we'd like to feel like we know who those 5 and 6 starters are as we go into the offseason.
So you didn't lose much to the transfer portal, as you mentioned. You lost a couple big pieces. And I'm just curious, in general, if it's – do you take that personally at all? I mean, I feel like I probably would. Is it tough to get – to not get disillusioned when you put in work and help guys develop and, you know, make sure they go to class and everything like that and they leave? How do you turn the page from something like that?
Well, I just, you know, we remind ourselves that at the end of the day, we are a business. And, you know, with what NIL has done, and more importantly, what the transfer portal has done and the current climate of just, you know, if you don't get what you want, kick over to the next place. And the grass is always greener. I think we went into it last year knowing that we were just going to lose some really good players. And I think guys at the end of year one, with the high amount of retention that we had, we feel pretty good about what we're doing. But yeah, I think it's impossible to not take it personal, particularly with those players that come in and you develop them. You know, you watch them kind of screw around in the classroom, and the next thing you know, they're on the honor roll and you see their demeanor change. And maybe it's pitch development or swing development. But I just do think at the end of the day, that's a part of the business that we're in. And if we do a good job with our culture, the percentages will stay more in our favor than not. And, but it's a part of the business. And I think it's really important for us here in our program that with culture being as important as it is and the relationships that we want to have with our players, just year in and year out, we're going to try to do the best job that we can of having an awesome locker room experience. And then know on the front end that we're going to probably lose somebody that we really care about and probably will disagree with their decision. They're going to go somewhere else. And that's just the business that we're in, unfortunately.
Brian Green with us, Wichita State head baseball coach. So with NIL, the transfer portal, and now the increase in the number of scholarships you can offer, how does that all mix together? What do you do with these added scholarship money? Does that mean more full rides? Does that mean more players involved in getting some assistance? How's that all going to shake out?
Yeah, pretty crazy new passage of laws in Congress right now, and now waiting for the NCAA to come in and right. Be specific with how it's going to run. But with regards to baseball, you know, with a 40-man roster and currently 32 scholarship slots, if you had some COVID waivers and extra players, but on 11.7 scholarships over those numbers, now being allowed and adjusted to 34. So where we are in a climate is a waiting period. So 34 is the number for baseball next year. And what the coaches are waiting on across the country is that 34 number going to be when school starts? Is that your roster cap? Or are we going to a hard 34 roster cap when your season starts? Either way, guys, we're waiting for those answers as it impacts what we do at the break with these kids. It impacts how many kids you sign in the fall period. And for me personally, I know it's around the corner very fast, but I would like to just operate under the assumption that we're going to just play the game as to what it is right now. And as soon as we make that change, we'll make our adjustments just so we're not caught off-handed.
What is something that, that really worked for you maybe last year that, I don't know, maybe you hadn't necessarily gone with in your coaching style, or what was different about Wichita State? Because you got so close to getting to the postseason. I imagine you'll probably want to do a lot of the same things you did last year to get to the postseason. But what did you learn? What was different about the experience overall compared to other places you've been?
And another awesome question. That was what we discussed just the other day. Last week, we went off grid and we told our players on the 12th, 13th, and 14th, the coaches won't be available. And we took our retreat out at Flint Hills National in one of the lodges and closed our phones off and hunkered down. And those are the questions that we asked ourselves, just in terms of, let's start with what went well. Because, you know, so many times, as we all know as coaches, your memory is stuck on maybe the 10th inning the entire summer, or the bad sixth inning in the tournament, or maybe a little bit of April. And that can just dominate our thoughts. But so we really were specific with it. And answer your question, guys, it was the culture piece is always important to me. But we went all in on that, more so than I've ever gone in, and I think more so than any of our coaches had gone in. So when we got to November last year, there were a lot of parts of the game that we hadn't covered that we went into essentially a crash course on, like skill development for the infielders or short game fundamentals. We worked on it, but it was very broad. And we went all in on locker room and culture. And we did it because we had 35 new players. And we honestly, genuinely thought the only way we're going to be able to be competitive was to, A, recruit a physical group of hitters. Maybe not athletic and aren't going to be able to steal a lot of bases, but if we can be strong and hit doubles and drive some walks or get some on-base percentage, that's one way to win. Get as much pitchability on the mound as we can, and then just work really hard at culture. And you know, the question, how do you work hard at culture? Well, it's got to be player-driven. We've got to invest in outside groups coming in, and we've got to be very intentional with many, many leadership exercises today. And at the end of the day, that stuff sounds great, but what really went well for us and what we learned the most was when you have great senior leadership, you've got a chance to win. And last year's team was driven by Caden Favors and Mauricio Mion and Rogers and Stroh. And with that, what do we learn and what do we need to maintain? Make sure that we're doing a great job of working hard to develop leadership so we can have that again. And I've been really proud of this first week. We did an introduction exercise today led by the seniors. Nobody screwed around. They took it really serious, and everybody's body language is good. And those are the exciting things that I think. So maintain our culture, keep that front and center with what we do. Where can we improve? One, we can improve recruiting-wise athletically so we can have a faster team and do more and then get more left-right on the mound. We feel like we've done that in recruiting, so we need to maintain the culture, but we need to work harder at the fundamentals in the fall period than we did last year.
All right, Brian, we really appreciate it. Wichita State 32-29 last year, won 10 of their last 13 games, made it to the championship game of the AAC tournament. How's the schedule coming together for 2025?
Boy, we sure like it. Again, some of the things that you learned from a year ago, what maybe to do or not to do, but we will mimic our weekend schedule in terms of first 2 weeks on the road. At McNeese State down in Lake Charles to open up, and then we'll go to Hawaii for 5 games, and then we'll come back home to Eck for 3 consecutive weekends with Cal State Fullerton and Missouri State, and then Louisiana Tech before we open up conference. We'll still play Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Kansas, and K-State, but we won't have any double midweeks against different opponents. We'll only play once, home and home with the Kansas schools, one time with the Oklahoma schools, and really try to improve on our rest. And I think that's one of the reasons why we improved in May, is we weren't wobbling as much. So the schedule has really come together. We like it. We've got 54 committed right now. We still have 2 more slots available. And when fall baseball starts September 13th, We'll go to Nebraska for a fall scrimmage on September 21st. And then would invite the fans to come out October 19th. The Dallas Baptist will come here if you want to get a sneak peek at the Shocker baseball team in the fall this year.
All right. Thank you so much. We appreciate your time. We'll visit soon.
We appreciate you guys. Thanks, guys. Go Shocker.